Well, welcome everyone to our Bleacher Report. Way too early. Power 36, 2 days after UConn won its sixth overall national championship, its second straight. Every game in the last two NCAA tournaments, they won by double figures. A remarkable run by the Huskies over the last 2 years. They had a great game plan against Purdue on Monday night in Phoenix. We talked before that, but it worked perfect to perfection. Let Zach Edey get his. He gets 37-10, shut off the water on everyone else, and UConn's guards were just better. They would basically out-rebound them. They made more threes. They, even if the shot clock went down in the final 5 seconds, they'd get a second, third offensive rebound. And Purdue then would be suddenly down 5, 7, 6, 8. And it became double figures. And they had not been in that position this year where they were going to have to come back like that. And UConn has a great way about it in terms of sort of taking away your will. We saw that in the last 2 years. When they sense a weakness, when they see frustration, they will put you away. So a remarkable two-year run for UConn. Really amazing what Dan Hurley has done since he's gotten there. Obviously, sort of navigated at the beginning, found who he wanted, got elite talent, developed others. Everyone bought in, and they're at the top of the college basketball world on the men's side, without question. Women are obviously still elite as well. All right, so that all happened. At the same time, on Monday, we had some seismic coaching news with John Calipari, after 15 seasons, deciding to leave Kentucky on his own volition. The buyout that he had was north of $30 million. So I never believed that Kentucky could pay it, would want to pay it, could justify paying it. So this was a great split for both parties, that he is now the head coach at Arkansas, an SEC rival. And if you were to probably look at the two schools in the SEC that care more about basketball than football, I would say it's Kentucky and Arkansas. Obviously, you know, Tennessee cares a lot about it. Vanderbilt, even though they have struggled, they care a lot about basketball. But there's no question that Kentucky and Arkansas over the last, whatever you want to say, well, for Arkansas, certainly since the 80s, definitely cared, I thought, more about basketball than football. And Kentucky, that's been historically the case. I want, before we get to our Power 36, I want to put a couple points out here, because I raised this on a post I did. Because I think we need to have some perspective on John Calipari and what happened at Kentucky in the last 15 years. And so if I can just reiterate this in this platform, I first believe he was the right coach at the right time for Kentucky. Remember, they were coming off the Billy Gillespie era that was really a failure for AD Mitch Barnhart. He brought star power to historic blue blood. If you remember, he had almost like a rock star entrance when they would do the Big Blue Madness. Drake, you name it, stars would come to watch Kentucky. He had one-and-done talent. He was a trailblazer with one-and-done talent, trailblazer with social media for college coaches. He was the first to create pro days in men's college basketball. Now we sort of see it around. It's certainly been a thing in college football. He got the SEC Network and ESPN platforms to televise the pro days when no other pro days were being televised, to televise their summer tours. No other program was getting those televised on a major network. He did a ton of philanthropic work, whether it was disasters in the state, tornadoes, flooding, helping Haiti. There was a great story that I would tell you to look at from a local rabbi in Kentucky after the shootings at the Pittsburgh synagogue. Calipari is from the Pittsburgh area, and he made sure that he was there to support the Jewish community after that happened, lighting the menorah at the time. These were things that were not publicly discussed. On the court, he won a national championship in 2012, led by Anthony Davis, went to 4 Final Fours, 7 Elite Eights. That's the good. The bad is that 3 early exits the last 3 seasons. But I thought Cal said it well in his post, where he said that after 15 years, there needs to be a new voice. And I would tell you that I think the day of the coach staying for 20 plus years is probably no more. We've got Matt Painter, Mark Few, Tom Izzo, sort of at the head of that class. Bill Self, obviously, excuse me, and Scott Drew. They're sort of up there right now in terms of longevity. How much longer will other guys stay at certain schools at elite level? I doubt it's going to be in the 15 plus year range. So I mentioned Scott Drew. The names bandied about, everyone has them. And I think Scott Drew is in the top 3. We'll see if it even happens in the next 24 hours to get the Kentucky job. I personally don't believe Billy Donovan wants to go back to college basketball. He was asked about it after the Chicago Bulls game. You know, it's a different era right now in college basketball. NBA guys like their NBA life. Recruiting certainly has changed, but your recruiting is all about NIL now and transfer portal. And it's a headache. And if you don't have to deal with it financially and you're in the NBA, I'm not quite sure why you would. So I'm not convinced that he would entertain it. You know, that's why. And also, now I mentioned Dan Hurley. Now, he's someone that could certainly stay at UConn for 20 years, but he may burn himself out. And he said he does not want to coach into his 70s. He just turned 50. So could he stay at UConn another 10 years and continue this dynasty? Of course. Could Kentucky back up the truck to get him? Sure. They could try. I don't think his wife, Andrea, and family is very important to him, would want to leave New Jersey. Well, she left New Jersey for Rhode Island and Connecticut. I don't think she'd want to go to Kentucky. That's my opinion. It's also really hard after you win a championship to just bolt. You can't celebrate it. And so a lot of times we see coaches talked about leaving after a championship, and it almost never happens. So that's why I think Scott Drew is viable. Been there since 03. Remarkable rebuilding job. After the program was decimated, after what happened with the murder of Patrick Dennehy, the cover-up via violations, not of the murder, but of NCAA violations by Dave Bliss, the show cause, the weird penalties of no non-conference games, and he got them to a national championship. He is extremely well-liked. He is a man of faith, which I know is important to Mitch Barnhart, the athletic director. He's got a great family, and I think he'd fit in well at Kentucky. Now, after him, that's where it gets interesting. So I'm going to pause there because we want to wait and see if Scott Drew takes it. There's plenty of other names I could rattle off, whether it's Brad Underwood in Illinois or you know, any of the Patinos, younger, older. But I want to see what happens with Scott Drew first, because I think that's the guy. Because I don't think you're getting Dan Hurley. You're not getting Nate Oates. And I don't think you're getting Billy Donovan. So let's go to our Power 36. And let me preface this by saying that it is April 10th as we're doing this. No rosters are set. The portal is still open. We're going to have to do this again in May and in June, till we know the rosters of transfers and the NBA draft. So it is an educated guessing game. You'll notice 2 major omissions, and I'll get to those at the end. For the time being. All right, so right off the bat, now, obviously, I'm taking some liberties here for who I think will be gone on the national champion. So Houston. We know that L.J. Cryer is back. I interviewed Jamal Shedd after he won Naismith Defensive Player of the Year. I think he's coming back. especially after the way his season ended with his ankle injury. So I think Houston's going to have the pieces to be the top team in the country. Experience, the chip after losing to Duke in the Sweet 16. So I think that, you know, that's my opinion of where this one ends up. Duke, Cooper Flagg, number one player in the country. He'll be the top pick in the 2025 NBA draft, at least he's projected to be. And we'll see all the other pieces that come back for Duke. There's already been some transfers on some rotation guys. UConn, this is under the assumption. Well, we know they're losing Cam Spencer. We know they're losing Tristan Newton. So this is the assumption that they're losing Donovan Clingan and Stephon Castle. But I have faith in Dan Hurley to retool this team. I mean, if Samson Johnson is your primary five, that's pretty good. Hassan Diarra as a starter, really good. So I really still believe that this team will be top five good. Alabama, same deal. We don't know fully their roster, but I think a lot of those guys are coming back. We've already heard that Creighton and none of their players are returning. Same with Carolina. Same with Iowa State. Gonzaga. We get the sense Nembhard, EK, all will be back. Kansas, already doing well in the portal. They could have a core of their group coming back. KJ Davis is coming back. KJ Adams, excuse me, is coming back. So they've got a core group. Clemson made the Elite Eight, losing Alabama. Firmly believe the core of their team is going to return. A lot of guys in Tennessee, not Dalton Connect. But again, solid group for the Volunteers. Arizona's losing some guys right now from the portal. So that number 12 could go the other direction. But I have faith that Tommy Lloyd's going to get together a pretty good roster. Willie Ringo already saying that Ace Bailey's going to go number one. And he may. We'll see. All right, so here's Purdue at 13. No Zach Edey, and we saw how exposed they got when the other four guys had to be counted on. So you take Edey out. Lance Jones is gone. Mason Gillis gone. Ethan Morton gone. I know he didn't play much, but still. Again, here's a faith pick. I firmly believe Purdue will be up there. Auburn, dealing with the transfer portal as well. Illinois, they're going to restock. They could be higher. Baylor, let's see what happens with Scott Drew, but they could be higher. Florida lost at least two guys already, but I think their core will return. Same with A&M, same with Dayton, even if Holmes is gone. Everyone I've talked to in the Mountain West said Boise State is going to be the team to beat in the Mountain West. So I was with a couple of Mountain West teams throughout the course of the tournament. Wisconsin, they lose AJ Storr, but he didn't play well at the end of the season. They'll lose Tyler Wall, but the rest of the group's going to return, and they feel really good about their recruiting class. Xavier, another team that's going the right direction. Ohio State, they lose Gale, they lose Battle, but Michi Johnson had a great year at South Carolina. He's back. Bruce Thornton back. Felix Akpara back. So they're going to have a core for new coach Jake Diebler. Marquette may only lose Tyler Kulik. I say only. That's big time. But it's still going to be a core group that Shaka Smart will have in contention in the Big East. Let's go to 25 through 36. Michigan State. So of all the seniors, A.J. Hogard's the one that could return. I don't anticipate he will. But all those freshmen, great freshman class, and he's got more coming in this group. I firmly believe that the Spartans will be in the mix. And Tom Izzo is determined to make that the case. I think Xavier Booker will have a breakout year. Cohen Carr, Jeremy Fears will be back after the recovering from the gunshot wound. So they'll be real good. Oregon, you know, they're not going to have Dante, but the rest of their core group will be there. Seton Hall, let's see what their roster, if they can build off that NIT championship. San Diego State, I was with them in Boston, and they felt really good about their core, even if Ladie is got, you know, even with Ladie gone. UCLA got better throughout the rest of the course of the season. If they can keep most of those guys together, they did pick up Sky Clark already. They're going to be in the mix. Max Asemus gone from Texas, but I, again, believe in this core group. Same with St. Mary's. Nebraska getting Juwan Gary back, Bryce Williams. They lose Tominaga, but they could have a really good squad. Wake Forest, their whole core could be back that just missed the NCAA tournament. NC State, we expect Burns gone. But let's now build on what they just happened with the Final Four and give Kevin Keats some credit here that they're going to have the momentum into next season. BYU, their core group will be back. So they'll be able to score. They need to defend, but they'll be able to score. And with Rutgers, you know, I felt like they've got Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey. So two of the top five players in the country, lottery picks. But you can't win just with young guys. Just picked up a Princeton transfer. They got to make sure their veterans or anyone else in the portal step up because they lost the whole freshman class from 2 years ago. And they recruited over them. But I still feel like with the talent they have coming in, they're going to have to be in there somewhere. So where did that leave all these other teams that I was considering? It's a laundry list. Cincinnati, Villanova, Mississippi State, Maryland, Providence, Indiana, UNLV, Dedan Thomas is back, New Mexico, K-State, Syracuse, Memphis, Minnesota, St. John's, Colorado, Loyola Chicago, VCU, Pitt, Northwestern just got Ty Berry and Matt Nicholson back, UAB, South Florida, Colorado State, Kentucky, and Arkansas. Not here because they have no players right now. I mean, I guess technically Kentucky does, but I don't expect them to stay. They don't have a coach. Arkansas doesn't really have a team yet, but he'll put one together. Princeton, Vermont, St. Louis, Miami, Georgia, South Carolina, UMass, Richmond, Bradley, and Northern Iowa. So those were all of my under consideration. I know that I'm going to get some heat for no Kentucky and Arkansas, but I don't have a roster yet. So that's where we're going to do this throughout the course of the spring into the summer when we have the full rosters of these teams. All right, L. Jordan 9, he's a loyal Bleacher Report stream watcher. You get a shout out. Again, appreciate you. C-Mops, is this early Kentucky possible? Of course it's possible. Possible. The question is there enough money to draw him away? I don't think it's going to be about the money. He loves being at UConn, loves what he's built. So Straw22 says, I don't think Scott Drew is the answer. Let me tell you something about Drew at Baylor. They consistently got incredible athletes who had great athleticism, long reach, run the floor, shot block. He's gotten great guard play over the last 20 years. So I think there's a, I don't see why he couldn't work at Kentucky. And by the way, they won a national title, been to multiple Elite Eights. He's had great success there. You know, Turkey says, of course, Billy Donovan, of course, says he's committed to the Bulls. Well, their season certainly could end in a week. And Kentucky could just wait. I just don't see NBA guys going back to college in this era. Maybe I'll be wrong. So Turkey agrees with me not have Kentucky in the top 10. I don't have them anywhere because we don't know what's going to happen. Max Conklin said Zag should be top five easily. Yes. You know, well, first of all, their Pepperdine transfer declared for the draft. We don't know if he's coming yet. So I could move him up. Yes. Wax wants to know if Tyrese Proctor is going to test the draft or transfer. Don't know yet. I can't, Jerry, I can't put Mizzou in there. They went 0-18 in the SEC. Yeah, Derek Dempsey, no Maryland in the 25-36 because I don't think you can dismiss losing Jameer Young and Dante Scott. Yes, they've got talent, but I want to see it. I may move them up into the 36 before everything's said and done, but I got to see it. So Devontae Brown says that I have to rank Arkansas just off Cal's reputation. I agree with you if I knew at least at this moment they had any players. And maybe the whole Kentucky team will go over there. And we'll do it again in a couple weeks. Drew Thompson, yes, South Carolina is in my under consideration. Willie Ringo thinks Aaron Brotjock could commit to Rutgers. Could they make a run? Need to fill that whole roster. A lot of pieces still there. And Cody, yes. Well, they did, you know, for Memphis. They already picked up Dane Danger from Illinois. So, yeah, he'll work the portal. No question. He'll get it done. All the faith. All right, so let's go back to the beginning here. Houston, Duke, UConn. I think the preseason one will be one of those three. I think various people have different ones of the three as number one. So I think that's where we stand right now in April for next season's preseason one. It will be one of those three. That's my bold prediction. I'm going with Houston now. Let's see how the rest of the rosters shake out. Again, congratulations to UConn. Sixth overall national championship, second in a row. Last time that happened was Florida in 06-07. Prior to that, it was Duke in 91 and 92. Dan Hurley creating a Hall of Fame career in a short amount of time at UConn. As always, I appreciate everyone. We're going to continue to do these at different points in the offseason. We've got the NBA Draft Combine, got the NBA Draft. But this sort of puts a period on this season with this one. But we'll do this again. And appreciate everyone's engagement with everything. I've had a blast doing it. And take care, everyone. Be safe and appreciate your time.